those of you who don't know, this is U2 covering Jimi Hendrix. The Watchtower. That would be Bono, who's a bona fide liberal, but I let him on the program at times. We continue. My guest this morning, Lieutenant Colonel Austin Rollins, United States Marine Corps. And I want to turn the focus of our discussion to back to online behavior. We've talked about in general ways and some specifically what needs to happen. So tell me, if you were king or queen for a day, whichever you want to be, how do you solve and what is your message in order to make this issue go away relative to online behavior?
That's kind of a tough one, because it's tough in the sense that go away, I think, is probably a bridge too far. Okay. You want to get 90%, 95%, right? So what do you do? I think we've taken one of the first steps, and you and I talked about this a little bit earlier. You know, a page 11 is cheesy, right? But at the same time, you have to get everybody on the same sheet of music. You got to get everybody on the same page and just say, okay, it's like walking the pit bull, right? And you've got that choke chain on, and you just got to give it a sharp tug that says, okay, we're paying attention. Maybe we as the leadership weren't paying attention before, but we're paying attention. This does not meet the standard. And you need to sign this piece of paper saying that you understand that this doesn't meet the standard. The second thing that I think, and this has been happening through the Department of Defense and the Department of the Navy, right, is this adjustment to the UCMJ and putting out this new article, I think it's 1168, that basically makes it punishable by the UCMJ. Other than that, Mac, I have to tell you know what right looks like. You know what I mean? And we talked about the transformation somewhat earlier, and the transformation doesn't stick to everyone to the same degree. But at the same time, you know what right looks like. So if you're out there and you're in a message group, if you're in a chat room or wherever it is that you are, and you see that stuff as a Marine, you need to just get out of there. Just get out. Okay? Hey, you know, put your message out there. This behavior does not uphold the dignity of the Marine Corps. I'm out. And then get out. Number one, you know, for this online piece, and again, I look at this as being a symptom. Take responsibility for yourself. You know what right looks like. Do right. Don't do wrong. Don't do anything that would prejudice, you know, good order and discipline. You know, and to get all kind of, you know, liberally on you. If I know that I would not want this thing done to me, you know, and actually that's probably not very liberal. That is Christian in the sense that there's this thing that we do unto others as we would want done to ourselves. If I know that what I'm getting ready to do is not something that I would want done to myself, leave it. Don't do it. Walk away from it. But again, I think you have to treat the online, the adjudication of this as a, we have the tools now, but you have to treat that as a symptom. You can get caught up in these symptoms and chasing these things, but I think we get this from a leadership perspective on the back end, addressing culture, addressing our ethos, talking about what Marines do and what we don't do. And then over time, my hope at least is that some of these other things start to take care of themselves. They start to wane. But I would hope, I mean, my God, I would hope that we're not going to go into things like staff NCOs checking Facebook pages and, you know what I'm saying? There are all sorts of things that you can do that may not be the best use of our time.
I can imagine. I cannot imagine, and I've seen this come up, Marine Corps Cyber Command somehow combing the internet for this kind of content when there's so many other better uses of our time and God knows that we don't have enough of it in order to do the things we're supposed to do right now. But let me ask you I want to talk about Article 1168 for a second. But before that, when you say page 11, what exactly do you mean? Does that mean that documents training, or what exactly?
No. So the commandant, right after they set up the task force and after he testified on the Hill, one of the things that came out is that every Marine had to sign a page 11, basically saying that you understand what good order and discipline looks like in the use of social media. That's what that was. And so every Marine was supposed to sign that, active reserve, it didn't matter. And so that's what I was referring to when I refer to that page 11.
Okay. All right. Let me read Article 168 as it was proposed. And it is titled Non-Consensual Distribution or Broadcasting of an Image. 1. The wrongful distribution or broadcasting of an image is prohibited. 2. The distribution or broadcasting is wrongful if the person making the distribution or broadcast does so without legal justification or excuse, knows or reasonably should know that the depicted person did not consent to the disclosure, and the intimate image is distributed or broadcast, A, with the intent to realize personal gain, B, with the intent to humiliate, harm, harass, intimidate, threaten, or coerce the depicted person, or C, the reckless disregard as to whether the depicted person would be humiliated, harmed, intimidated, threatened, or coerced. And there's a few more pieces to it, but that essentially spells out what was, I think, a little bit nebulous in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So that's Article 1168. Marines come from the civilian world. When General Kennedy was on, we had a conversation about, he said he was speaking at some event and there were educators there. And he said, a couple of them came up to me and they said, you know what, we deal with the exact same issue, but we don't have nearly the tools that you have. So we are kind of looking at you to see how you handle this as maybe a path to how we should be able to handle this. And because you have more tools than we have at our disposal, because they have rights relative to the First Amendment. 35 states have revenge porn laws. And then beyond those, it is up to, you know, the individual to take either civil action, in the civilian world to have something like this redressed. So kind of interesting, a culture and a practice that is very, I won't say acceptable, but it is very commonplace in the civilian world. And somebody comes into the Marine Corps, I think the article spells it out very, very clearly. The other piece of this that you and I were discussing is leadership to the point of friction, and I think that it is the greater issue, because you see it rear its head in combat, you see it rear its head in every kind of facet of Marine Corps life, from sexual harassment to the drill field, and that is, hey man, knock it off, that's not cool. Hey, why don't you mind your own business? And then whoever's doing it continues to do what they do. I think that's really the core of this issue. And as you said earlier, the symptoms manifest itself in all these different areas. But it's extremely discouraging that in this particular case, you had people weaponizing information about a Marine. And in these cases, the vast majority, as far that I know of, are all female Marines. Personal data on that, and not just, hey, check out my girl bullshit, her personal data, weaponizing it, and not too many people taking those people on and saying, hey, what are you doing? Hey, stop this. Yeah. Are you crazy? I mean, I think that's the issue, and I don't know if I have an answer to that other than the senior, that it has to start with the accountability of senior people. And beyond that, I'm still struggling, I think, like a lot of people are. How do you make that change forever?
Yeah.
How do you coach that young leader to say, don't step back from that? That point of friction.
Step into it.
Step into it and let it rip. Because the worst that's going to happen is you're going to get a bloody nose. And really what you might prevent is them going to jail. And I liken it to really the campaign that Mothers Against Drunk Driving waged on picking up somebody's car keys and don't let them drive home. That took years and years and years to do. Now when you take somebody's car keys, you don't look at it as – you look at you're doing them a favor now. I'm helping you.
Yeah.
You're not looking at it as intervening in their life in a belligerent way and, you know, and forcing your point of view on them. And you don't look at it like that anyway. That's years and years in the making. Is the Marine Corps in a similar spot relative to leadership to the point of friction?
So I don't want to speak too broadly here because I can't. I think that with this particular issue, we are probably in a similar place. What is going to help us deal with this particular issue is addressing some of the larger kind of foundational things that we were talking about earlier, increasing the number of women in the Marine Corps, which is supported by recruiting more women to the Marine Corps and then retaining those women in the Marine Corps. It's probably also supported by a broader form of gender integration and entry-level training, right? It's probably also supported by a broader understanding through PME, through the Commandant's Reading List, of these are the contributions that women have made over time to the military. Because there is some fear of what you don't know. There is some fear of the girls are coming in and they're going to take away all the fun, you know. And so as we see these changes, we talked earlier about kind of the backlash throughout history that has come after every gain that women have made. You know, 100 years ago, women were not voting in this country, right? And so as women became doctors, as they became nurses, as they became attorneys, as they became astronauts and congresspersons and all the rest of this stuff, Marines, pilots, whatever, we have seen kind of a backlash. And I don't want to go so far as to say, you know, looking to keep women in their place, but you do see a backlash against the movement and the gains that women have made. And I think that we have to understand that the backlash is somewhat normal, but still stand firm against it. And as you were saying, you know, about the group of educators who were looking at the Marine Corps for their example for what they could do in the future, I still stand by, you know, my belief that the Marine Corps is a very unique organization and that in this particular case and point, just as, you know, trying to get after the race issues a few decades ago, that it is in a unique place and a unique position to deal with some of these because we do have more control over the folks that are in the Marine Corps than we do over everyday American citizens. We can tell them, yes, we will do this, no, we won't do this. But I think that the broader task is to model for the rest of our country what it could look like to be part of a community, what it could look like when you have these laws on the books and when you're enforcing them. I think that's how I see it from the broader perspective. But I think getting after that and having sat in on at least one of the assistant commandant's round table meetings, this idea of you need more women in the room, that's number one. You've got to recruit more. And then you've got to not alienate women. You know, thinking back to when I went through boot camp and remembering some of the things that my drill instructors told me about male Marines, right? And then hearing that, you know, male recruits are told very similar things about female Marines. Well, one carries more weight than the other simply because the Marine Corps is still 93-92% male. And so I think as we bring in more women, we integrate some of those earlier training evolutions, and then we begin to really kind of explore what women have offered the Marine Corps over time and offered the military over time. I think with time, this subsides and goes away, right? At least I have to hope that that's the case.
Tell everybody about the group that you're a part of. How did you get to me? And who is that group? And then I want to and then after we talk about that, Austin, I want to talk about the broader I want to talk about the broader theme of women in the Marine Corps. So I'll give you I'm an infantryman in my life, so I'll give you an infantryman's view, and you can deal with that.
So
tell me about the group you're with and what do you want? What do you want from the rest of the Marine Corps relative to helping with this issue?
Yeah. All right. So I'm one of the co-founders of a group called Action Against Hate. And we started
Hold on, that broke up. A group called what?
Okay. Actionable Change.
Actionable Change, okay.
Yeah, all right. So here's what happened. I went to Germany in February. I was there for about a month. I had a great conversation with a young second lieutenant. I hope I'm not giving too much away there. But she was kind of giving me some feedback on what her entry-level experiences had been. And I honestly was saddened by what I heard. And so that kind of stuck in the back of my mind. I finished my time in Germany, came back home, and I was online with a couple of folks that I had served with, and we were just chatting on Facebook and ended up having this interesting conversation about Marines United, because it broke right after I got back from Germany. And one of us said something like, you know, we need to do something about this. And then a couple of weeks passed, and we didn't talk about it anymore. And then I read this interesting article beginning of March by Kate Germano. Mm-hmm. And I don't know Kate Germano, or know if I passed her on the street. But in this article, she said something that stuck with me. And it was the idea that when she was going through this situation at Parris Island, that no other senior female Marine stood up for her. And so I can't speak to her style of leadership or any of the particulars of the situation there, but that just kind of resonated with me. Because as Marines United broke, I'm looking there on the platform, and all I see are Lance Corporals and Corporals. These are the women that have kind of been outed and are saying, yep, that was me. This is what I want. This is what I want to do about this. And I thought, okay. Is no one else going to say anything? I mean, we all know this stuff to be true, but what do you say? And so I got back online with Ann Bernard, who is also one of the co-founders, and I said, okay, so Ann, are you going to start that group, or do I just need to do this kind of on my own? And so she launched it the same day, and the response was overwhelming. So it's a closed group on Facebook. And there are probably about, you know, a little over 1,000 women in this group, all Marines, all females, who are all kind of telling the same story. And so then we wrote the editorial, we released that, we're working on releasing some other articles and research as well. We want to keep this conversation going. We want to keep this moving forward. The other thing that we've done just very recently, because a lot of male Marines were coming up and saying, how can I help? Be part of the solution, right? What do I need to do? And so we started a kind of a secondary group called Actionable Change Allies. And this is a male-female group where a lot of the conversation has moved and it's growing, so that we can ask male Marines specific questions. Male Marines can ask female Marines specific questions, and we can have professional, logical, rational disagreements, agreements, but a conversation about where the problems lie and what needs to be done at every level. We've had some great conversations in that forum as well. But, you know, I hit on earlier what we're looking for, and really it is to make sure that we are recruiting the right women into the Marine Corps at the right numbers, so that 20 years from now, you know, our group can cease to exist. We can move on to other things. So we need the right women, the right numbers, and then we need the right type of training. And when I say the right type of training, that is some form of gender integration. And there are any number of ways to get after that. You know, you could use the OCS model. You could use the model that they're currently using on Parris Island right now. But it is something that says, okay, we work as a team in the Marine Corps, and we need to start that from the very beginning. You need to understand what that means, when the Marine Corps says that we expect you to work as a team. And then the third thing that we think will help foster that conversation, right, is an actual understanding of how much women have offered the Marines, not just the Marines, but the military in general, how much women have sacrificed in their service to this country. And that, I think, can be done through the Commandant's Reading List, through PME, et cetera. But those are, if you had to say, what are your goals? Those are our three goals.
All right. So can I join Actionable Change Allies?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I just did a search on actionable change. So I find actionable change. I find actionable change allies and actionable change USMC.
Just go to actionable change allies and then request to join from there.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You talk about the right women joining the Marine Corps. Now that's a touchy subject. Before we came on, you and I talked about, I relayed, General Kennedy talked about, we never used to, and this is one of Kate Germano's criticism, we never used to recruit women. They fell into our lap and we accepted them and we were happy with that. So it's difficult for a male not to sound like he's being extremely disrespectful to women who have joined the Marine Corps and served honorably when they say that. Explain to the audience when you say the right Marines joining, female Marines joining, because let me give you my grunt perspective here. The problem with female Marines is that they're not interchangeable pieces. Okay, they're slower and they're weaker. And I don't say that as notional. I say that as somebody who's trained them, and you want me to believe that they're interchangeable pieces with me as an infantryman. Now, I'm going to tell you that I read the Ground Combat Integration Study, and one of the conclusions was, based on performance standards, not somebody's narrative, that the best Marines that were in the study were equal to the bottom 5% of the males in the study, and that they were quality female Marines, that they did their best, but that's what the study came out with. And it talked about standards for MOSs that the Marine Corps has since implemented. So as an infantryman, I would tell you, how does this make the organization better by adding more people to our combat arms that are in the lowest 5% according to the integration study?
Okay, so let me ask you a question, right? Because I've spoken with, and I don't pretend to be in the infantry, but I've spoken with a few infantry officers of all ranks regarding this, okay? Wouldn't you say that some of the male Marines that you have had serving have been in that bottom percentile, those bottom percentiles?
Without a doubt.
What did you do with them?
Sent them to company headquarters.
Okay. All right. So, but they didn't go away. So I guess I'm having a little difficulty with the premise that, men are interchangeable parts, but women cannot be interchanged into these same billets.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let me give you another bullet. When they play on the varsity football team at Navy, the varsity soccer team at Navy, the varsity hockey team at Navy, then I'll accept the premise that they're interchangeable. Until that comes, there's physical differences that separate us. There simply is. And we want to fairy dust that and make it go away. So, again, from my community, that's another criticism.
Okay. So let me – and I'm not going to speak for actionable change. I'm going to speak for off-scene right now, okay? So how do I want to put this?
You can be blunt.
There is, because here's the thing. I have to ask myself the same questions, right? The Marine Corps has a specific responsibility. How do we meet that? And at the same time, offer, and you're going to want to get on me for putting it like this, but offer the opportunity to all Americans who wish to serve to do so. Okay. The problem that I had prior to the study was that we just kind of looked at the standards and said, we don't necessarily care whether or not you can meet the standards. So long as you're male, we're going to assume that this is for you and this is okay.
Right.
And so when I look at the purpose for me of the study was, let's at least put objective standards out there. Now, me personally, I don't care if a woman never meets those standards. So long as there's a standard out there that says this is what an infantry person has to be able to do, And if you can meet that standard, we will not keep you out because of your gender. So that if the woman comes along who meets that standard, you need to, at that point, assume that she is interchangeable. Now, you can make all of the comparisons about being able to play football in the Navy, etc. Okay. I think that women can offer something to all fields of the service with the assumption and the knowledge that I think to some degree, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you are still working within the team construct. Not every member of the fire team, not every member of the squad has equal strength. And it's the role of the squad leader, of the fire team leader, the platoon commander, to help figure out where people are best suited. And so if you're going to use the argument that because women are not interchangeable, therefore they should be excluded, then I would say that we've got to apply that all the way through the spectrum, and you've got to apply that as well to men. Men are not interchangeable. But you've made allowances for those men by sending them to the company office or sending them elsewhere, doing something with them. The end result of that is that it looks like you don't have a problem with physical fitness. And I, at least from the conversations that I've had with infantry 0302 and MARSOC commanders that I've asked these questions,
right,
and they would say to me that at any given time, approximately a full third of them are either out of standards or real close to the line. So I just, let's be fair. I understand that the output of the Marine Corps is warfighting. That's what we do. But we are also, and this speaks to the earlier part of our conversation, we are also a tool of the United States of America. And to make the argument that we should be something other than what represents our country and the best of our country based on gender is, I think, a non-starter. And
I,
as I said,
and you know what, and
let,
I,
me,
I,
let me finish.
I
let
agree,
me finish.
And I, so agree, as, I agree with you.
Okay. So as I said, I don't care if not one woman ever makes it through IOC. Okay. So long as she knows that she can go there, give it everything that she's got, and get through if she meets the standard and not get through if she doesn't. That's all I'm asking for. I want equality of opportunity. That's a different thing from equality of outcome.
And it's quintessentially American. And again, I want to give you one other thought that is a part of this discussion. Amongst people that look at it seriously, and the thought is this: that is not an easy life, that physical, the demanding physical life of becoming an infantryman,
yeah,
an infantry marine, or a tanker, or, I mean, that we will break women, physically we will break them, and this will have to go on for an extended period of time before the Department of Defense reevaluates this. One, have you heard that? And what is your thoughts? Because I'll tell you this. I mean, it isn't easy. It's not easy on male bodies. The female body is not as robust. And so there's one discussion about standards. And I think you're I don't know how an American institution has that develops a standard can stand and look as much as men may want to say, yeah, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. As an American institution, you can't stand and say, look, we have a standard, but women aren't welcome. It can't work like that in the United States. So your thoughts on in terms of longevity in an MOS like that, do you think that physically females stand up to that over time, or do you think we'll break them in disproportionate numbers?
Okay. So,
is that simply their choice, and we live with it?
So let me. I think that that's a bogus argument for two reasons. Okay, so number one, all right, we break men, we break infantry Marines. It is a hard life period. Okay, I've not spoken to one Marine officer who has been in that field for, let's say, longer than 10 years, who doesn't complain about something, whether it's his knee, his back, his shoulder, his neck, I don't care what it is.
Wires.
We break infantry Marines. It is a tough life end of discussion. Okay? The second reason I think that that is a bogus argument, and it alludes to what you just said. I appreciate you're looking out for me, but let me make my own choice regarding that. 20 years from now, it may mean, I mean, who knows what it could mean? It may mean that my back is broken, or my hip doesn't work right, or that my knees aren't working right. But I don't need the paternalism. I don't need you looking out for me and telling me, because we think that these things might happen, therefore that's not for you. Okay? I mean, there's a lot of research right now talking about women and endurance races, and that women are amazing athletes over the long term. Men have more power and strength up front. Women have more power and strength on the back end. And some of these ultra marathons and the longer endurance races that, you know, where they have co-ed competition, right? And they have women who are winning those races and beating men. And the truth of the matter is, Mac, really, we didn't start studying the impact of exercise or the lack of exercise on women's bodies until the 1990s. When President Clinton was in office and insisted that, okay, let's begin to study the impact of these various medicines and drugs, et cetera, exercise and what have you, on women's bodies. That's the first time we actually started to research that. I'll give you a good case in point. Did you know that men and women have completely different heart attacks? Most people don't know that.
I don't know that.
And so heart failure kills women all the time because we didn't study how heart attacks showed up in women. And they show up completely differently in women than they do in men. But our science was targeted towards men. We've done the same thing with exercise physiology and kinesiology and the rest of it. We don't know. We won't know for another 20 or 30 years. We simply will not. And if we're going to say, in the United States of America, right, land of the free, home of the brave,
yes,
where
yeah.
we like this thing called personal liberty and independence, and if we're going to look at our female population and automatically look at them and exclude them from a certain way of life because we think it's best for them, I have to ask, as a woman who is a student of history, where does that stop, right? Do I have your word for it that it's only this one thing that will keep you out of? So I understand the argument that says, you know, anything that's out there should be available to women to pursue and to achieve if they're able to do so. I mean, and that's where I stand on that. So those that they're great. I hear those arguments all the time, right, but they're bogus.
My guest this morning is United States Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Austin Rollins, a prior enlisted Marine, and have been gracious enough to share her time with us. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you this morning that you believe is critically important for people to know about either the Marines United issue that the Marine Corps deals with today, leadership, or the concept of gender equity in the Marine Corps?
So I think the only question left, right, is how can you help, right? As one of the guys, as the person who makes up 93% of the Marine Corps, I think that's the question. How can I help? Because I don't believe, you know, and maybe I'm in a minority, I don't believe that most people mean to be sexist. Most people don't mean to be racist. Most people don't mean to display their prejudices. But if you don't know how those behaviors show up, and this goes back to the conversation that you and I were having earlier, particularly in officers and higher senior enlisted, if you don't know what your behavior looks like to someone else, if you don't have a sense of empathy about the comments that you make and the remarks that you make, whatever they're about, and your body language and how important it is to make eye contact with all the members of a group. If you don't understand those little nuances of human behavior, and this is where I think particularly officers could use some training. If you don't understand what bias looks like and how it shows up, then you often don't understand how you are part of the problem.
All right. So what do you want from us?
So if you're interested in joining the conversation, go out, first of all, join the group Actionable Change Allies. Ask your questions. We've got tons of intelligent, wonderful female Marines of all ranks who will help answer them for you. And then, you know, I would think one of the things particularly that the Commandant is looking at is he wants folks to have this unconscious bias training. He wants, because again, for a lot of people, and I'm talking about sexism writ large, not just the online behavior aspect of it. For a lot of people, you don't know how what you're saying or what you're doing adds to the problem. And it's one of those things when you're in a position of leadership where you're either helping or you're hurting, right? And so if you don't know how important it is to do little things like check your language, and when I say check your language, I mean when you're writing a fitness report, think about the descriptive words that you use, because we have certain words that we use for women, and we have certain words that we use for men, and it kind of it pigeonholes people. If you don't think about how you make eye contact throughout the group or how you hand out assignments if you're a commander or if you're in a position of power, right? If you don't think about those, if you assume that you have no biases or that your biases or that you have your biases in check, right, then you're probably one of the worst offenders.
So so if I'm taking inventory about what I can do, then one, I guess first thing is, and that's what I love about this forum is this kind of interaction is teeing those things up for you and letting all of us hear, you know, about these issues relative to bias, especially if you're a leader, in the Marine Corps. Do you guys talk about these things on the Facebook page?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How? So tell me how.
So I don't have my computer in front of me, but just last week, Ann Bernard, one of the co-founders, put a question over in that group that just basically said, and it escapes me at the top of it. But she gave some background to the question and said, so here's a question for the guys. Or for this group. And then we've probably had about 45, 50 different responses. And we had another situation where there was a young captain who's in EWS and she had a situation come up in her class where there were some comments made and asked the question originally in Actionable Change, you know, how should I deal with this? And Ann said, hey, let's put this over here and let's ask the guys, how do you think that this should be dealt with? And we had a very interesting, over the course of 3 or 4 days, a very interesting exchange of how she should handle this or what she should say. And then someone would come back and ask her a question about, you know, some various things. Or I wouldn't have thought that that was hurtful or harmful to the conversation. What do you mean by this? And so there's been kind of this interesting dialogue and back and forth between both groups, but also within Actionable Change Allies, that I think over time has the potential to be something really good.
Would you say the first step is join the group and don't be afraid to, and again, my infantry community comments, that's the conversation we have. And I think that if we're not comfortable saying, especially for officers like Lieutenant Colonel Rollins, if we're not comfortable teeing it up and saying, hey, this is what we're talking about, what do you what are your thoughts? If we're not comfortable throwing the carcass out there on the table and saying, what do you think? And then looking each other in the face and telling the truth, then the conversation can't go anywhere.
No, I agree. I think that this is a group where you can do that. We ask people to come be professional. Don't be an ass. Be professional. Add to the conversation, but ask questions.
Yeah,
that really is the first step. Ask a question.
To me, and don't be afraid of the truth, All right. If you look, we all know it's in the room. Okay. Are we not going to talk about it?
Yeah.
Are we not going to talk about these biases and these things that if I walk out of this and the door shuts, you guys are going to talk about it, but you won't talk about it with me in the room?
Yeah.
So to me, I think that's step one. Let's get real. Everybody sit down. Let's have a conversation. If you're going to say it when I'm outside the room, let's say it inside the room and let's talk about that. Because to me, the things that you say, and again, this is where it gets, I think for males, you get very nervous about it. And that is this, because I will tell you, my time in the Marine Corps, and I'm retired now, but my philosophy was stay away from female Marines. The only thing that's going to happen is that there's going to be trouble. Because I've seen it over and over in my career where somebody gets accused of something, whether it's real or perceived. There's the accusation of bias or whatever. So be very professional, but have as little to do with them as possible because bad things happen there. And again, I say that as a guy who until the last maybe 2 years of my career never served in a mixed gender unit. Every one of my B billets was a male organization.
And so this is a funny thing, right? Because this is what I think happens. I think that most male Marine officer types, right?
Yes.
Who are infantry, artillery, or up until now tanks, et cetera, come up just like that. And then they get to a MAR-4 or they get to a joint unit. And for the first time now, you're working with female Marines. And I can tell you, I've had conversations with senior officers, colonels and above. They're shocked at how professional you are. They're amazed by how well you do your job, you know, and there's just kind of like, oh, maybe I was wrong. And there's this kind of, not, I won't say reset that happened.
No, that's a different kind of engagement. It's like going to the zoo for the first time.
Yeah.
What is that, Mom?
Oh, yeah.
That's a monkey.
That's a female Marine.
This is what they do. And then you work through that. And again, there is a difference. I would tell you that it's easier to lead, you know, in an all-male unit. You could be rougher. You could be more direct. When you mix genders, there is a difference.
But I agree with that.
It's not that big of a difference. And I think, though, the other thing that is interesting that, again, male Marines would not want to have this discussion in public is when they hear you say we need to recruit female Marines in the same way we recruit male Marines from those same pools that will allow us to go to maybe one PFT. Because there's women that can do that and that can physically that can do that, but we've never recruited them. So
I was hoping you'd come back to that. Let me add something on this, okay? It blew my mind when I realized for the first time, probably about a year and a half, that we had not ever really recruited women. Like, we hadn't actively recruited them.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that till 3 months, till a month ago.
Yeah, it blew my mind. And so, but it explained so much. So it explained things like the height and weight standard, okay? So, for example, the previous height and weight standard for women, you had 5 pounds in between each inch of height that you gained, right? And so what that meant was that if you put on any muscle mass, you were always out of standard. So what are you trying to recruit? Little thin women who may run real fast, but maybe can't do the kind of work that you're asking them to do if we're going to integrate infantry and do all of the rest of this stuff. Maybe just aren't as physically strong. But now with this focus, at least, you know, the briefs that I've heard, with a focus on going after women who are in pools where they have come up differently. They've played lacrosse. They've played hockey. They have maybe done more than just run cross country. They have engaged in contact sports like wrestling. Those women are tougher. They're stronger. You know, they're functionally fit. They're coming in with a background in CrossFit. All of this stuff that it would seem to make sense, whether we're recruiting to the infantry or not, we simply want women who can do the job. And you never know when it might be your turn to step out of this support role that you have, right, and actually pick up a rifle and do something else, right? No. So we should have been recruiting her all the time.
Which is exactly how we recruit male.
Exactly. That's where we go. We go where you have developed mental and physical toughness, right? That's where you go. Those are the people you want. Yeah, sorry, that was my little rant on that. That blew my mind when I realized a little bit ago that, whoa, we're not even actually going out asking for women to join. What are we doing then?
Yeah, no.
But like you said, we were just waiting for women to kind of fall in our lap, putting a class together and putting them through.
Yeah, no. A friend of mine, a battle buddy times three by the name of Mike Musselman. He's a retired Marine Corps gunner, CW05, and he's the first person I heard say that. He said, "We didn't recruit women." I said, yeah. "What do you mean? How do we get them?" He said, "They just showed up. We're at a table. Yeah. We're recruiting guys. So I got to recruit myself. I've got to recruit, you know, 90 guys this year, and I've got to recruit 5 females. Okay, I don't like. They'll just come up and talk to you. Give them the information. If they want to join, they join. But we didn't recruit. Yep. We didn't recruit them. And I remember when I heard that, I had the same reaction you did. Like, what? Yeah, it's not. It wasn't worth my time. My fitness report was not going to be evaluated based on that.
Yeah.
Right. It was going to be evaluated based on the 90 guys I did recruit. How many of those got through recruit training? That's what my. So I had to recruit men that were qualified. That's and then after that, I had to recruit men that weren't qualified, but that I could put in so I could meet my number. That's how I got.
Yeah.
That's how I got evaluated my fitness report. And then when General Kennedy said the same thing relative to Kate Germano's criticism, it was just like, wow, I didn't really realize the full implications of that. And again, with no disrespect intended to anybody, I think that when my peers hear that and they say, okay, so she's going to be a high school athlete, she's going to be able to pass these standards, there's not too many of them that look at that and say, and there are some that look at that and say, yeah, I'm not good with that. The vast majority said, look, if she can do that, then she's in, and we'll deal with everything else. So
yeah.
But it's not a conversation that we're comfortable having in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
And vice versa, absolutely. Because there's no place to do that without assuming that people will take things personally, right?
Right.
And then want to disengage.
Right. 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 Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Understood.
All right. Now, next question. Or I'll make an offer and then a question. Any time that you all want to come on All Marine Radio, all you have to do is let me know. And you're welcome here, because this is an incredibly important issue, not only in terms of leadership, but also in terms of the future of the Marine Corps. And the first step is having a candid, respectful discussion that's footnoted, that's articulate, and I've thoroughly enjoyed having you on today, Austin. And I think that the more that the Marine Corps as an institution does of this, the more, you know, we can have discussions and make points like, hey, General Neller, get on Facebook, okay? The rest of your Marine Corps is on Facebook. It's not a badge of courage to say, I don't do social media, okay? You are a dinosaur, okay? Come to it, have an understanding of how it works, okay? Because your entire organization communicates that way. And so we can't have that discussion if we don't get in the room and we don't observe that. So I want to offer that to you guys as a group. Anytime you want to come on here, I'm more than happy to host it. And then the good part is we have a pretty good following, and it gets up there on Facebook. It gets there up there on Twitter, on iTunes, Google Play Music. And then we bomb out the link and it does some pretty good coverage. And then I also want to offer it to you personally, Austin, that whenever if you want to come back on, if you have an issue, and all you got to do is shoot me a text and say, Mac, I need your show. I need to go off on somebody.
Oh, dear.
Feel free to do it, because these kind of discussions, and I'm in particular about leadership to the point of friction, and everything we've talked about today, I think, gets to leadership to the point of friction. And then you get the point of friction, and then everybody looks sideways like, what do I do now? Do I force this? And in my opinion and my experience, and I've been really fortunate to work with great, great Marine leaders, officer enlisted, is don't respect the point of friction. The only thing that comes out of a vigorous, articulate, footnoted debate is good stuff. And most important is the example that you set for subordinate leaders, that we could talk about anything from sexual harassment to the way we report it to gender integration to standards. If you're respectful, you're articulate, and you're not afraid to footnote, you can have any discussion that you want to have, and it's always better after you do that. And so I want to thank you for coming on and doing this today, Lieutenant Colonel Rollins. I thoroughly appreciate it, and want to wish you all the best of luck in your command. And when do you take command? Am I going to get invited now?
Sure, I'll send you an invite. It's in July, though.
In July, in New Jersey.
Yeah, in New Jersey.
Do you like the humidity?
Well, I live in North Carolina, so I don't know that that will be much of a change.
It won't be.
It won't be.
Now, what part of New Jersey?
So it's Fort, McGuire Base Dix. McGuire Dix.
Oh,
it's like
okay.
A joint base up there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Fort Dix. Is that now, how far is that out of New York City?
So it's probably about 45 minutes on a clear day out of New York City, but 45 days from Philadelphia.
Nice.
So,
it's a nice
area.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me on, Matt. I really appreciate it.
No. Like I said,
it's been cool.
The what you're asking, all right, and on Facebook, or you can just do a search on the internet. All right, Actual Change Allies, and you'll see articles about them. You'll see you can go on Facebook and find their webpage, join the webpage, and join the discussion about what all Marines can do to make this issue go away and to be accountable as leaders in the Marine Corps. And that's what we owe every Marine, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of sexual preference. We're Marines, and that trumps all. So, Lieutenant Colonel Austin Rollins, thank you very much for the conversation today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Max.
All right. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.